From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Joseph Meyerhoff Symphony Hall in Baltimore, Maryland, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you, Baltimore. Listen, everything we learned about your city of Baltimore, we learned from John Waters movies. And we came anyway. But in our time here, we have been surprised at the lack of insane gun-toting drag queens, five-foot-high beehive hairdos, and Pia Zadora banging on bongos. Guess we haven't been going to the right bars. So John Waters himself will be stopping by our show later to give us some tourism tips while here in Baltimore. But first, it's time for you to give us a call and play our games. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, my name is Lynn Pham from Beaverton, Oregon.
Hey, Lynn, how are things in Beaverton?
For once, sunny.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yes.
What do you do there?
I am a network administrator, and some of you may know me as the maintainer of the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me stats page.
Oh, my gosh,
oh,
that's
God.
You.
Oh, no.
He's
wow.
Our guy.
This is, I need to let the audience know that if they don't know about this, you have stats of every show we've ever done, including winners, losers, and point accumulations. This website is very useful for anybody who likes to play Fantasy Wait, Wait.
Fantasy Wait, Wait? Hey. I was wondering if we have that.
Well, welcome to the show, Lynn, and thank you for your work. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher. Mr. Adam Felber is here.
Hello, how are you?
Next, say hello to the Amy you ask when you ask Amy. It's Amy Dickinson. And the correspondent for CBS Sunday Morning and the host of Foodography on the Cooking Channel, Mr. Mo Rocca, is here.
Hi, Len.
So you ready to play, Len?
Yes, I am.
Here you are. You're going to play Who's Carl This Time? Carl's going to start us off with three quotations from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain just two of them. I think you know that. Two times out of three, you'll win our prize, Carl's voice on your home voicemail. Ready to go?
Yes.
Here is your first quote.
Bust. Flat broke. Insolvent. Belly up. Ruined. Potless.
That was Frank Kane writing for the website The National. After the company Standard & Poor's decided that Who might not be as credit-worthy as they used to be. Who's almost belly up, ruined, and potless?
I think that might be the United States of America.
Indeed it is. Congratulations. Standard & Poor's didn't actually say the U.S. was a bad investment. They said it might be soon. They moved the country's future outlook from, quote, stable to negative. We went from being the world's sole remaining superpower to the country that asked to crash in Canada's basement until we could get it together. And now Canada wants its futon back.
What? I thought we were friends, man.
Look, man. I just think it's time for you to get a continent of your own, okay?
It's just a couple more weeks, man.
You're not going to use all that health care, are you? See, but all right, if we do default on our debt, they say we'll become a third world country instantly. Big crisis. No. But what's wrong with that? Why not embrace that? A third world United States would finally get interested in soccer.
Right, that's true.
Sure. We could enjoy the thrills of bringing your livestock onto public transportation. I've always wanted to do that.
We'll
and
be
best
on bikes.
Of all, if we were a third world country, maybe Nike would finally consider building a factory here.
There you go.
It's not an economic apocalypse, it's a jobs program.
It's an opportunity. I know when I walk out the door in the morning, I'm always disappointed not to see chickens in the street.
Here, Lynn, is your next quote.
The heart-shaped donut signifies the love between them, and it is filled with jelly to represent how their lives are to be ever filled with happiness.
That was a statement from Dunkin' Donuts. They're so proud. They made a new donut to commemorate what big event next week?
The royal wedding.
The royal wedding. Oh, it's so exciting. Yes. all the pageantry and glamour of a fairy tale come true. The commoner plucked from obscurity to become princess. There's going to be wall-to-wall coverage all week. This one so far isn't generating the kind of excitement that we have with Prince Charles and Diana. It's supposed to draw an audience of 1 billion people worldwide, but half of that will be confused cats wondering why their lonely owners woke them up at 5 in the morning.
And Dunkin' Donuts has created
Dunkin' Donuts has a commemorative royal wedding donut.
Interesting thing about both Dunkin' Donuts and the royal family,
yes.
Both make surprisingly good coffee. Just a little bit of trivia.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's true.
Really?
It's true.
The royal family, they're trying to figure out ways to draw men's interest in particular to this event. They're thinking about putting really big chrome rims on Kate.
All right, wait. How else could they? You're men, allegedly. Mm-hmm. So how else? I'm just saying.
Wow.
How else could they draw your interest? Like, maybe if the ladies in waiting were waiting.
This is how you do it. Drinking game.
Oh, right.
You take a drink whenever the Archbishop of Canterbury messes up somebody's incredibly long title, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you chug a whole bottle if the prince beats his father's record and commits adultery before leaving the church.
But you know what?
There's some opportunity in them apses, too. There are some apses.
I've been to Westminster. That aisle's really long.
Oh, yeah.
So it could happen.
It's just 400 yards of temptation.
Oh, God. A slip and slide wedding dress train. That could be fun.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Lynn, here is your last quote.
Privacy is so 1997.
That was the Washington Post's Alexandra Petri responding to revelations that what device has been tracking our movements for months?
The miraculous iPhone.
Indeed, yes. Your iPhone knows what you've been up to. You ever get that feeling that somebody's following you, you turn around, there's nobody there? That's because it's in your pocket. The call is coming from inside your pocket. A news report came out this week claiming that everybody's iPhone is tracking and recording their movements. Everybody got upset because they thought that Apple had finally revealed itself as evil, but Apple denied all this. They said, quote, "We've always been evil. You just never noticed because we've got cool ads."
I think this is good. I think it'll actually... I don't think it's a bad thing if people know that their behavior is being monitored. Maybe this will stop people from taking their iPhones out and using them at the urinal. This happens.
Really?
Any man here can tell you it happens. Do ladies do it when they sit down to do their little thing?
Well, they wouldn't
know. Yeah, they do. Yeah. And I got a letter about this for my advice column, like whether this was okay.
To
use your phone when you're in the loo.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's not okay with your phone.
And you were sitting there and you said, hang on a second, I'll write back. Right back in a minute. I just got to take care of something here. iPhones have been doing this for a while, and people knew about it, but nobody freaked until this week. The reason? Because they looked at the record of their movements on their iPhones, I mean their physical movements, and realized how dull their lives are. According to my iPhone, for example, all I did for the last 6 months was walk from my couch to my iPad and then back to my couch.
Yeah. I've taken care of that, though, because I've been FedExing my iPhone to exotic locations.
There you are.
I now look like a much more worldly man than I was.
Carl, how did Lynn do in our quiz?
He was perfect, Peter. Lynn, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail.
Well done, Lynn.
Hey. Thank you.
And I got to say, thank you, Lynn, for being the Bill James of Wait, Wait. You're an amazing guy. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Adam, the NFL draft is next week, and many analysts predict good things for TCU quarterback Andy Dalton. However, one NFL executive told Sports Illustrated he identified at least one weakness in Dalton's game. What?
He doesn't exist.
He's a robot.
No, he does exist.
He's a robot.
He's a successful college quarterback, Andy Dalton. But they're worried about one thing about him, because that may not work out well.
He is not going into a career in professional football.
No. He doesn't want to play. No, that's not
He's
it.
Not interested.
Carrot Top suffers the same weakness.
He's a redhead.
Exactly right.
He's a ginger.
He's a ginger, as they say in Britain. NFL executives are notoriously nervous about quarterbacks, especially when they're betting the franchise on an unknown quantity. The unnamed executive said, quote, "Has there ever been a red-haired quarterback in the NFL who's really done well? Oh. It sounds idiotic, but is there any way that could be a factor?" Unquote. Mm. Well, sure. No, it makes sense. Having red hair could affect one's ability to play pro football. There's the classic devil-may-care, whimsical nature of the redhead. Mm-hmm. They'll forget to play in order to run barefoot through the AstroTurf in a sundress.
Yeah. All those, it'll just be an endless stream of footballs on a conveyor belt, and he'll wackily lose control.
Exactly. Try to stuff them in his mouth to hide them.
Doesn't that guy, Brett Favre, have red hair?
No, he. No, I'll check. He just texted me a picture of himself. Oh, wait a minute. Oh. It's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, I'm Mick Alexander from Newton, Massachusetts.
Hey, how are things in Newton?
Actually pretty nice for a change.
What do you do there?
I'm a neurologist at Harvard Medical School and Beth Israel Deaconess Hospital.
So what? I mean, have you discovered anything interesting about how the brain works that you can share with us right now?
Well, I've discovered that right-handed brains and left-handed brains are quite a bit different from each other.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right-handers' brains are pretty boring. They're all pretty much the same. You know one right-hander, you pretty much know them all.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but left-handers are quite variable. They're much more interesting as a group.
Well, Mick, you're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. What's the topic, Carl?
That's not helping.
There are people who want to help, and there are people who are really bad at helping. Mm-hmm. This week we heard about a sincere attempt to make things better that only made things worse. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories of well-intentioned but ineffective do-gooders. Only one of them was in the news this week. Choose that true story. You will win Carl's voice on your voicemail. Ready to go?
Yep.
Let us hear from Mr. Mo Rocca.
Rockville, Maryland has tried everything to deal with young speed demons tearing down Tuckerman Lane. Speed bumps didn't work. Stoplight cameras issuing tickets didn't make a difference, said city manager Stephen Oakes. We realize the only thing that might stop these kids from speeding is the sight of a little old lady shuffling across the street. And so the city turned to Harlequin Dinner Theater and hired six elderly actresses to cross the street at regular intervals. Myrna Davis, last fall's Mother Superior from Sound of Music, pushes a granny cart with groceries to make herself especially vulnerable. Evelyn Franzen and Luli Markham, hot off a sold-out run of Arsenic and Old Lace, work in tandem, Evelyn helping Luli, who pretends to be blind. Drivers have indeed noticed and reacted with their horns. Rockville now has a noise pollution problem equal to a third-world megalopolis. I took this gig pretending to be a little old lady, said Luli Markham. Now I'm suffering total hearing loss.
Fake little old ladies trying to slow down the traffic in Rockville, Maryland. Your next story of unhelpful help comes from Amy Dickinson.
Last November, when all of England was going barking mad over the royal engagement, the Royal Humane Society decided to capitalize on the craze for all things royal by creating an ad campaign showing the Queen with her herd of corgis and the slogan, "Corgis, they're royally cool." The shelter was hoping to promote all dog adoptions, but it turns out that people only wanted corgis, and so the shelter disguised 200 puppies, pugs, mastiffs, and border collies as corgis, dyeing their fur blonde, and in one case, installing prosthetic ears onto the head of a very angry chihuahua. The problem is that all puppies grow, and these puppies grew up not to be corgis. When one horrified owner realized his little royal puppy was actually a 180-pound Newfoundland, he dropped off the dog at the gates of Buckingham Palace, along with its adoption papers. Other disgruntled dog owners followed suit, and the pack of unruly dogs grew. Dudley Ledoux, palace spokesman, said, "The Queen is not amused."
An attempt to get dogs adopted does not work out when they're all disguised as corgis. Your last story of assistance you could do without comes from Adam Felber.
Here's a multiple choice. If you're a state-funded unemployment agency trying to connect with the jobless community, do you A, offer counseling seminars, B, host a jobs fair, or C, spend $14,000 on red superhero capes for the jobless as part of your flagship capability program? Well, if your name is Workforce Central Florida, the answer is obvious. Grab those capes and encourage the jobless to fight a cartoon character named Dr. Evil Unemployment. As it turns out, the idea of dashing into a phone booth to change clothes wasn't such a hot concept with a group of people who are in danger of genuinely having to do so. And this week, the program was denounced by the state director as, quote, insensitive and wasteful. Workforce Central Florida Director Gary J. Earle defends the program, saying that his agency has also recently placed 59,000 people in jobs, presumably in the burgeoning fields of newspaper reporting, newspaper photography, and teaching at schools for gifted mutants.
All right. Here, then, are your choices from Moraka, fake little old ladies hired to slow down the traffic in Rockville, Maryland. It did not work. From Amy Dickinson, dogs disguised as corgis to get them adopted quicker in Britain. That did not work. Or from Adam Felber, superhero costumes and capes distributed to the unemployed to make them feel better about their unemployment. That did not work. Which of these was the real attempt to help that got nowhere in the news?
There's no fourth one, huh?
No, sadly.
Well, Mo, we have little old ladies, blind people, nuns. We've got everything. Amy, can't imagine a mastiff disguised as a corgi. And so even though Adam's is completely preposterous, I'm going to go with Adam.
All right. You're going to pick Adam's story of the employment agency in Central Florida. Well, we actually spoke to somebody representing the people who made this very well-meaning attempt to help.
The cape was an opportunity for people to become essentially a superhero and defeat Dr. Evil Unemployment.
That was Kimberly Cornett Sullivan. She is a spokesperson for Workforce Central Florida, talking about their superhero cape program. By the way, they have ended that program.
Or have they?
Dun, dun, dun. But congratulations, Mick. You got it right. Well done. You earned a point for Adam. You've won our prize. Carol Castle will record the greeting in your home answering machine. Well done, sir. Thank you for playing with us today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And now the game where we ask people who know a lot a few questions about the little they don't know. When we came to Baltimore, we were told by people who know that we shouldn't expect to see the urban dystopia depicted in the TV show The Wire, nor the cornucopia of baked goods you see on Ace of Cakes. No, the real Baltimore, they told us, can be found only in the work of cult filmmaker and Baltimore native Mr. John Waters. So, here to explain this strange world to us, John Waters. Welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
So I was surprised to find out that you did not actually grow up in the city.
No, I grew up in suburbia, which I ran from as quickly as I could. I wanted to come downtown and be a beatnik. Even in grade school, I knew something was terribly wrong, but I was happy.
What drew you to downtown Baltimore, to the city?
Well, I first came downtown and I saw beatniks and I saw people that didn't fit in and I saw outsiders that didn't even fit in with their own minority, and that's always been my people, really.
Right. And, people who are so outside, even the outsiders don't know what to make
of them. Yes, but as you know, if you spend even another 24 hours in Baltimore, everyone thinks they're normal here, but they're insane.
Well, you have said that... You have said, in effect, that without Baltimore, there'd be no John Waters. There'd be no John Waters films. That there's something about the city.
I make documentaries. Just
really?
Take a walk. Take a walk. You'll see people that look like Divine on the first corner, really. I went to a bar here last week that someone took me to, and it was in a woman's house. You could see her bed, but it was also a hardware store. So... you could order drinks and buy nails. It was nice.
Yeah, it was a woman's home hardware store and bar.
Yes. Yeah.
You could get a screwdriver and a screwdriver.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
You've got a book that's coming out in paperback called Role Model, and in it, one of the things you mentioned is your parents seem to be actually, what's the word? They were tolerant of your
They were very tolerant and mortified. And I sum it up best. My last movie, my father at the premiere said, it was funny, but I hope I never see it again.
So did they, but you write it that they actually took you down to this bar when you were underage?
My mother did. Took me to Mardix. It was kind of a beatnik bar. And let me and hang out in the alley. And my first movie star, Malcolm Soul, worked there. And she was really amazing beatnik. She was a female impersonator.
No, wait a minute.
She was.
That's hard to do.
So your mother would drive you, you were underage, your mother would drive you to this bar so you could hang out outside the bar with the characters inhabiting the bar.
Well, the characters came out because the owner knew I wasn't 21. And so he wouldn't let me in.
So, God, this is like the best kind of homeschooling.
It really is. So... Were they worried about you to the extent that they were like, we don't know what little Johnny's going to do with his life, so we better just indulge whatever he wants so that he can find his way?
Well, I don't think they indulge. They knew that I wanted to do something, at least. That's the thing. If you're in high school and you're crazy, but you know what you want to do, you go to school to learn, figure out what you want to do. But I already knew. I should have quit school in sixth grade. I would have made two more movies.
Right. So... Could you describe for those who aren't lucky enough to have seen one what like a John Waters movie is, a quintessential
one? Well, I think it just worships, it's a political action against the tyranny of good taste.
Right.
I think.
Would there be a John Waters, at least in terms of your career, if you hadn't grown up in Baltimore?
Who knows? Because I did, and I still live here. But everybody in wherever you live, if you learn to celebrate what people try to hide about your community, you can have success.
Did they ever ask you to do, like, a tourism film for the visitor center?
I do it. Look on the tourist site. They even did a bumper sticker saying, come to Baltimore and be shocked, that was put out by thing.
Awesome.
But people got confused and said, come to Baltimore and be shocked? I said, shocked, not shocked.
You have to pay extra
We're not
for
that cool here.
Yeah, I know. That would be great, though. I have an odd question. Are you anybody's uncle? Because you'd be a great one.
Yeah, I'm a good uncle. I'd get you out of jail.
I was about to say, I don't know how many people you are uncle to, but they are all going to have best-selling memoirs someday. John Waters, we are so pleased to be visiting with you here in Baltimore. But we've invited you to join us to play a game that this time we're calling...
Please, dear, do have another cucumber sandwich, won't you?
You got famous for your love of things that were trashy, so we thought we would ask you about the great British tradition of high tea.
Okay.
That afternoon ceremony, redolent of class and style. Answer two of three questions correctly, you'll win Carl's voice for one of our listeners. Carl, who is film director, auteur John Waters playing for?
John is playing for Owen Connolly of Arlington, Virginia.
All right. Ready to go?
Yep.
Which of these is a common misconception about British high tea? A, that you have to drink tea. Many enjoy beer. B, that you have to dress up. Traditionally, you can do it in dressing gowns or even your underwear. Or C, that it is called high tea. It's really known as low tea.
I think they're all wrong.
You think they're all wrong?
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, can you be high and have high tea? Yeah.
That's why they call it that.
But... I was with my mother when I had it in London, so we didn't. But it certainly...
Were you in the alley outside the hotel?
No. Yeah. To me, the three things you said, I don't believe are true.
Well, one of them is true.
Okay.
Either you can drink beer at high tea, you don't have to dress up, or that it's actually known as low tea.
I guess beer. You could, but I don't... I mean, I guess you could. They're not going to throw you out. But, I mean, certainly, I've never seen it where you didn't dress up, but I did it in fancy places. Maybe you can have high tea at, you know, the Bloody Bucket.
That would be fun.
That's a good bar here.
We've learned so much here.
Okay. So, and you say one of them is
one wrong. Of them is actually true.
One of them is true. I guess that you don't have to get dressed up.
No, it's C. It's called called low tea.
And why? Because
it turns out that high tea in the traditional British use is had later in the evening, and it's with a more of a meal, and it's for lower class people who need to eat after a long day of work. Wow. The afternoon tea is known as low tea. It doesn't come with as much food because it's for high class people who do not work.
Well, somebody better tell those people at Harrods, because they keep selling high tea.
Me too. Me too. And I went to Claridge's, and it was called high tea, too.
Americans and tourists all think of it as high tea. It's like high class. So they call it that for your benefit.
Oh.
Really.
But it wasn't just Americans there. Well, maybe it was.
Next question, you still have two more chances. There are rules to follow during your tea, including which of these? A, never ever spread your legs more than one finger's length apart.
Ow.
B, do not stick your pinky out when drinking your tea. It is rude. Or C, cover your mouth when laughing, even if you have to put the tea down first.
And you're saying one of them?
One of these is a rule that people at high tea, low tea, should observe. According to standard British etiquette.
The finger thing seems like such a cliche that I don't know. Maybe it's that one. I don't know. What's the third one?
The third one is you have to cover your mouth with laughing at all times, even if you put your cup down first. If somebody tells a joke, cup down, then...
That's more Japanese tea.
Yeah, I think maybe that's rude.
Yeah, you said it. You're right. The pinky thing. Do not stick your pinky out. You might point it at someone. Instead, you curl it gently, sort of just away from the cup. So, last question, if you get this, you win it all. If you were to go to Britain for a genuine low tea, meaning high tea, you might encounter some unusual foods, such as which of these? A, curdled butter balls, B, fish paste sandwiches, or C, fried acorns?
One is wrong?
One is right.
One is
two
right.
Are wrong.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So, it's curdled butter balls.
Yeah.
Fish paste sandwiches or fried acorns. Butterballs could be a character in one of your movies.
Yeah, I know.
To me.
I'll go for the fish.
Fish paste?
Yeah.
You're right, sir.
Okay.
Fish paste sandwiches. British delicacy. Yeah. Told they're delicious. Carl, how did John Waters do in our quiz?
Well, John had two correct answers, Peter, and that's enough to win for Owen Connolly.
Well done, sir.
Yay.
All
right.
Huzzah!
Huzzah!
Do you ever give walking tours of Baltimore?
In private, yeah, because a lot of times the press wants me to do that, but it's kind of rude to butt into a bar and say, there's one with the hairdo, look!
Right.
No. Kind of condescending to do that. Yeah.
But I want to give you a chance because we have a national radio show. If you want to, I want to give you a chance to speak to the nation and say, this is why you should come to Baltimore. Go.
You should come to Baltimore because we have a great sense of humor here. It's the only city in the world, if you say, I'm moving to New York, people say, why?
John Waters, ladies and gentlemen, filmmaker, comedian, writer, author. John Waters has a book. It's called Role Models. It's out in paperback this week. John Waters, what a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
In just a minute, Carl breaks Cal Ripken Jr.'s streak of 2,632 consecutive rhymes in our Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Amy, Homeland Security wants to be taken more seriously by the American public. So this fall, you'll see Homeland Security agents doing what?
Oh, wait. Does it involve roller skates? No. More seriously.
Well, they want to be, you know, they want to get themselves out there in front of America. They want to be, for example, as respected and as well-known as Snooki in The Situation.
Oh, there's a reality show.
Yes, they're going to be in a reality show.
Sweet.
AMC, the network behind Mad Men, Breaking Bad, has apparently decided to branch out into shows that are not good with Inside the DHS. An AMC executive says it's about, quote, the day-to-day battle to keep us safe, prepared, and resilient. And, of course, drunken catfights.
I can't wait to see them in the hot tub.
Oh, that'll be great.
Ooh, TSA, TNA.
And I bet they, like... But they they can only drink their beers in 3 ounce or smaller
That's
sizes.
That's true.
So.
It'll take them longer to get crazy.
Yeah.
What are you doing with that wand?
It seems that DHS is a strange subject for a reality show, but
how... Why do you call it DHS?
Department of Homeland Security.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm saving time. I'm getting...
Well, this fall, you won't believe how secure this home is.
Exactly. I mean, it has its roots in reality TV. DHS Secretary Janet Napolitano got the job after winning on the show Who Wants to Be Chief of a Dysfunctional Federal Agency?
Are they going to live together? Like a safe house?
Yeah, it's going to be like real world of the FAA. It's not going to be so much who's sleeping with whom as who's sleeping.
Right.
Oh.
Right.
Oh, right.
Mo, to help them deal with unruly passengers, Hong Kong Airlines is giving its flight attendants what?
Oh, to help deal with their unruly... they're unruly passengers, or
yes, unruly passengers. They've had a lot of unruly passengers on Hong Kong Air, so the flight attendants will now all get what?
Karate lessons.
Exactly right.
Oh gosh, okay.
Actually, this being Hong Kong, it's actually kung fu training. It used to be the deterrent from sneaking into first class was just a little black curtain. Ha-ha. All new flight crews on Hong Kong Air must train in Wing Chun. That's the form of kung fu invented by Bruce Lee. It's very good. It's very good for delivering devastating blows in close quarters and for getting those rollerboards to fit in that damn overhead space. Cabin crews on Hong Kong Airlines have to deal with unruly passengers at least 3 times a week, which means the rest of us have been flying the boring airlines.
Yeah.
It has security benefits, but to qualify for an upgrade from now on, you'll have to defeat the flight attendant in hand-to-hand combat. And
that's really cool.
If you're in coach, you can only get a packet of peanuts if you snatch them from her hand.
Wow.
Wing Ho, finally we meet, but this time I am the passenger. Just imagine my mouth not matching.
I saw that. Okay. Mo, people chew gum to freshen their breath, to quit smoking, to keep their ears from popping in airplanes. Soon one popular pharmaceutical will be available in gum form. What?
A popular, I mean, I hope it's not Viagra.
It is.
I knew
yes.
It would be.
Men who can't have sex can now chew gum to fix that, assuming they can still chew. If they can't chew, well, Pfizer is working on something you can just inhale. If you can't inhale, you really don't need to be worrying about your sex life.
But klutzy people can't have sex and chew gum at the same time.
That's right. True. The gum is called Viagra Jet, and so far it's only available in Mexico. The slogan will be, you'll be ready when the moment strikes, assuming watching you chew gum does not make her lose interest.
Yeah, they're really going all in on repulsing women, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. And it's so cool, they're trying to fix one thing older men can't do by making them do another thing they can't do. What are the other delivery methods they thought of? Hair gel? Remembering names?
Yeah. If you think Viagra and chewing gum is repulsive, you should see the new Cialis in the form of wearable black dress socks. You just have to keep those on.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago and our upcoming show in Nashville on June 30th. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fabulous.
I'm so glad to hear it. Well, who is this calling?
My name is Crystal Baker.
Hey, Crystal.
I am from Lake Arrowhead, California.
Oh, that's beautiful, up in the mountains above San Bernardino.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm surprised you actually know where it is.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful up there.
it's really pretty. We have all four seasons.
Which four, though? Because that's important.
Summers are pretty, we have pretty amazing summer.
Yeah.
Well, Crystal, welcome to our show. Carl Castle now going to perform for you three news-related limericks. Last word or phrase shall be missing. Fill in that last word or phrase two times out of three, and you will win our prize. Ready to go?
I'm so ready.
Here we are. Here's your first limerick.
The last strains of my tune sure last long. It's well known, so whales tell when it's wrong. Those in the in crowd all chant it aloud. We whales show we're hip with a...
song?
Yes. A new study from Australian researchers reveals that whale songs spread around the globe among whales like pop songs do among people. One whale sings, another whale hears it, thinks it's catchy, he starts moaning it, and so on till it's a hit whale song around the globe. We got this from some oceanographers. It is this week's number one hit.
Wow.
To a whale, that's very catchy. It may not mean much to you, but we actually sped it up. Here it is again.
It's Friday. Okay.
You know, I worked out of high school.
Funny, it's weird
really
how
popular.
That works. It's catchy. It's annoying, but you really can't stop.
Can't stop.
All right, very good. Here's your next limerick.
There have been harmful bugs that we met, so with second thoughts we are beset. We computers feel bad for the fast times we've had. We'll grow stronger once we learn...
To reset?
Not to reset. You're close, though. Let's hear it one more time. Listen for the clues. Computers feeling bad, for example. Let's hear it.
There have been harmful bugs that we met, so with second thoughts we are beset. We computers feel bad for the fast times we've had. We'll grow stronger once we learn.
Oh, I don't know. To
feeling bad?
Upset?
No, not upset. How about regret? The computers will grow stronger.
Maybe regret?
Yeah, regret is the answer, yeah. Maybe. Could be, yes. No matter what a computer does to you, loses your work, fails to hide your browser history, they never feel bad about it until now. Artificial intelligence researchers at Tel Aviv University are engineering a computer that feels regret. You thought your computer ran slow now. Wait till it's constantly fretting about how eating your homework went straight to its thighs.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's going to have, like, performance anxiety,
it
though.
Will.
You don't want your computer feeling bad too badly.
It'll look at faster models and feel old.
Right. I'm no good.
I was just learning to love.
Here.
I wanted you to notice me. Competing for negative attention.
Here's your last limerick.
That dentist makes dinosaurs' boots shake. I run from the drill for my youth's sake. This abscess sure hurts, so cuss words I blurt. I'm a dino with one monstrous...
toothache.
Yes, toothache. Very good. Scientists say they have found evidence of the first ever toothache in the jawbone of a giant lizard from the Mesozoic. Had to be rough on the giant lizards back then. First of all, their teeth were so huge that the pain was therefore enormous. Second of all, dentists had not yet been invented. However, scientists now say, with this evidence, they now know why the type of dinosaurs known as candivores went extinct. Carl, how did Crystal do in our show?
She did well enough, Peter. Crystal, you had two correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail.
Well done, Crystal. Congratulations.
Yay.
Thanks so much for playing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Now it's time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a tie for first place, Peter. Adam Felber and Mo Rocca both have 3 points. Amy Dickinson has 2.
Ooh.
All right. Well, Amy, you're in third place, so you're going to go first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. Post offices around the country stayed open late Monday to accommodate people trying to beat the deadline for filing blank.
Their taxes.
Right. On Tuesday, Fidel Castro's brother Raul officially took over as the leader of the Communist Party in blank.
Cuba.
Right. The Department of Justice filed charges of fraud, illegal gambling, and money laundering against the three largest blank sites.
Oh, poker?
Yes, online. Novelist Jennifer Egan and the Los Angeles Times are among the winners of this year's Blank Awards.
Pulitzer?
Right, to promote their Buy Local campaign, the Queensland government of Australia bought T-shirts that were blank.
Made elsewhere, I'm
made,
sure.
Made in Bangladesh. To prevent residents from sneaking back into the area, on Friday, Japan sealed off the no-go zone around the blank.
The nuclear reactor.
Yes, Fukushima. According to a research study conducted by the Associated Press, nearly a quarter of all the 1-800 numbers in the U.S. and Canada are blank.
Sex lines.
Yes, according to London's Daily Mail, the new must-have item is a blank.
The Daily Mail, cap like Kate Middleton's.
No, a pet skunk.
Oh, that was my second guess.
I know. Now we are told that skunks are the hot new thing. We are told that by people who have a lot of skunks and desperately want to get rid of them. Pet lovers are apparently scrambling for the little stinkers, paying up to $2,000 a pop. They're cute. They make for just as good home security as a dog. Just make sure to point the other end at the bad guy. Carl, how did Amy do in our quiz?
Amy had a great round, Peter. 7 correct answers, 14 more points. She now has 16 points and the lead.
All right, we flipped a coin. Adam is elected to go next. Fill in the blank. Cleanup began in the Midwest and South after 15 states were hit with blank.
Tornadoes.
Right. Police in Colorado are investigating a man who they say attempted to blow up a blank in Littleton, Colorado.
Mall.
Yes, with 57% of the vote, Good Luck Jonathan was elected as the new president of blank.
Bolivia.
Nigeria. A 60-minute investigation that aired last Sunday night charged that much of Greg Mortensen's best-selling memoir, Blank, is fabricated.
Oh, it's that thing, a cup of tea.
It's a... cup of tea!
Yeah.
Three cups of tea.
Yeah.
Hours before she voted in support of a strict music piracy law, New Zealand Parliament member Melissa Lee told her Twitter followers she was enjoying the blank she'd been given.
Mixed disc.
Yes, of illegally copied songs. In an interview this week, Donald Trump said that he wants to build a $100 million ballroom in the blank.
White House.
Right. Pet lovers in Iran were outraged at a proposed bill that would make it illegal for people there to own blank.
Dogs.
Right. A woman who lost her sense of smell after a head injury made lemonade out of lemons by becoming blank.
A sanitation engineer.
No, the official pooper scooper of Haines, Alaska. Maggie Stern lost her sense of smell, so when the town needed a volunteer pooper scooper, she thought, why not? In a similar move, NPR has hired a blind man to be the official photographer for its Men of NPR calendar. Carl, how did Adam do in our quiz?
Adam had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 15 points, but Amy maintains the lead with 16.
I was 2 cups of tea short, wasn't I?
All right, then. So how many does Mo need to win?
7 correct answers.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go, Mo. This is for the game. Fill in the blank. 2 air traffic controllers were fired after a plane carrying blank was involved in a near-miss incident.
Michelle Obama.
Right. BP filed lawsuits against its contractors Transocean and Halliburton on the first anniversary of the blank.
The Deepwater Horizon oil spill.
Yes. President Obama was among those who mourned the deaths of 2 award-winning photojournalists killed this week in blank.
Libya.
Yes. On Tuesday, thousands of people nationwide showed up to apply for jobs at blank as part of that chain's first national hiring day.
I'm going to guess that it's Walmart.
It was McDonald's. The La Quinta Inn in New Orleans is being sued for negligence by a man who claims he blanked there.
That he was kidnapped by Pancho Villa.
That he...
Caballeros, Gauchos.
No, he says that he attempted to kill a wasp and fell out of the window, so he's suing them. After their defeat in court last week, the Winklevoss twins have filed a new appeal in their case against blank.
Facebook, Mark
right.
Zuckerberg.
Yeah. Yeah. After he was arrested in New Orleans last weekend, actor Nicolas Cage was bailed out of jail by blank.
Charlie Sheen.
That would be just. But the answer is Dog the Bounty Hunter. After Real Madrid won soccer's prestigious Copa del Rey trophy, celebrations were briefly interrupted when the team bus blanked.
When the team bus took off its clothes.
No. when the team bus accidentally ran over soccer's prestigious Copa del Rey trophy. Okay. So they're having the parade, and they're on top of the bus, and they're waving the trophy around, and a team member drops it. It goes, well, literally under the bus. Crunch. Carl, did Mo do well enough to win?
He needed 7 correct answers, but Mo had just 4 correct answers.
Oh, my gosh.
So with 16 points, Amy Dickinson is this week's champion.
Right. Well done, Amy.
Shocking, actually.
Absolutely. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists what will be the next horrifying thing we'll learn Apple has been doing without us knowing. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Chase, offering the Marriott Rewards Premier credit card. Details at marriottpremier.com/radio. Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery, working to destroy lung cancer tumors at the molecular level at vanderbilthealth.com. And Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on mileage and safe driving habits. Learn more at progressive.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our intern is Nick Park. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks to Carol Madow and everyone at WYPR Baltimore, and to Toby Blumenthal and the staff at Meyerhoff Symphony Hall. B.J. Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Waldshomer, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Showbiz Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike the Lonely Humpback Danforth. Now, panel, what is the next nefarious thing we will learn Apple has been up to? Adam Felber.
Having already eliminated the keyboard and mouse, the iPad 3, the first screenless computer, will be revealed to be nothing but air in a box. Nevertheless, it will sell 2 million units in its first weekend.
Amy Dickinson.
Apple doesn't know what horrifying thing they'll be doing next, but they already have an app for it.
And Mo Rocca.
Those aren't dropped calls. The people eavesdropping on your calls at Apple are just bored with your conversation.
And if Apple does any of those things, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carol Castle. Thanks also to Adam Felber, Amy Dickinson, and Mo Rocca. Thanks to this fabulous crowd here in Baltimore, Maryland. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We will see you next week. This is NPR.